This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، عليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, when we go through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beloved companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, we find numerous instances of matters that we can talk about. Numerous things, numerous beautiful occurrences, numerous beautiful incidences that we can just spend a whole day talking about. However, when I was going through the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ, there was one particular incident that struck me so much. There was one particular incident that even now, whenever I listen to it, whenever I think about it, whenever I lecture about it, I am just filled with awe. I can't believe this incident. What happened, my brothers and sisters, was in the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, when the Muslims, may Allah have mercy upon them all, when the Muslims won the war, and they took the prisoners of war, and they had 70 prisoners of war at that time. When they took the prisoners of war, there was, of course, amongst the companions, Mus'ab ibn Umair. And we know who Mus'ab ibn Umair was. He was one of the richest young lads from the young people of Quraysh. So he had accepted Islam, and he and his mother and father had thrown him out of the house. This is Mus'ab ibn Umair, who was one of the people who actually fought the Battle of Badr. And on the other side, on the side of the Mushrikeen, was Mus'ab ibn Umair's brother. Was a brother of Mus'ab ibn Umair, who was still a mushrik, who was still a disbeliever in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Mus'ab ibn Umair's brother, this brother of this righteous companion, was caught, and he was amongst the prisoners of war. And whilst one of the companions was tying up the brother of Mus'ab ibn Umair and tying his hands together, Mus'ab passed by. He just happened to pass by. He happened to pass by, subhanAllah, and he sees his brother in shackles. He sees his brother in the worst of conditions, a prisoner of war. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can chop his head off. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants, He can do whatever He wants with him. He is a prisoner of war, in the worst of situations. Imagine your own brother in front of you from the prisoners of war. What would you do? In fact, what wouldn't you do to save him? But look at what Mus'ab ibn Umair, may Allah give him the highest of paradise, said. He said, "Oh my brother," telling this other companion, this Ansar who was tying his hands. "Oh my brother, tie his hands hard." He says, "Tie his hands hard. Make sure you tie that rope hard because his mother is rich. His mother is rich and will pay a lot of money to free him. Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about, brothers? He's talking about his own brother. He's talking about his own brother. Tie his hands hard. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Take him and tie him up. His mother is rich. She will pay a lot of money for him. And so Musa ibn Umayr's brother, the mushrik, the disbeliever in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, "Oh my brother, you are my brother in Islam and you're saying this? You, of all people, you, my own brother, my own blood brother, is saying this about me?" And then Musa ibn Umayr, may Allah have mercy upon him, said something which I will never forget until the day I die, inshaAllah ta'ala. He said something which should be burned in your hearts. Something that you should remember every day in the morning when you wake up. He said, "Uskut, shut up." He told his brother, "Shut up, uskut. Innahu akhiya. Verily he is my brother, dunaka al-yawm, rather than you today. He is my brother. This Muslim man who I don't even know, who I never knew, except 2 years ago when I made hijrah. This man is my mother, is my brother today, rather than you." This is the ukhuwah of Islam. This is the brotherhood of Islam that we're talking about. Something that transcends all boundaries. All boundaries of nationality, all boundaries of race, all boundaries of culture, all boundaries of prejudice and racism. We are brothers before anything else. We are ikhwa fi deen. We are brothers of the same religion. Our mothers are different, but our religion is one. We are brothers in this religion. Look at the answer of Musa ibn Umayr. Think about it. Shut up, my brother, shut up. This man is my brother rather than you today. It is because of this great brotherhood that the companions had. My respected brothers and sisters, it is because of this great brotherhood that the companions had, due to which they were able to move mountains. These disheveled Arabs in the desert, with swords that couldn't even cut off the meat from the camel, they were going out with these swords to fight a nation, fight the kings of the world. Subhanallah, until they made the kings kneel at their very feet. By what? I ask you, by what? It was indeed Islam that joined them together in this bond of brotherhood. So they moved mountains, and they split apart seas, and they conquered nations, and they made kings kneel at their feet because of their unity. It is something we all understand. When I put three pens together, it's difficult to break, but when I take one, it's very easy to break. Unity makes us strong. Brotherhood makes us strong. This is what made these companions of Rasulullah ﷺ into a fighting force, into a force to be reckoned with. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. Walladhina ma'ahu. And those with him, who is with them? Who is with Rasulullah? The companions of Rasulullah. Ashidda'u ala al-kuffar. Harsh against those who disbelieve and harm them. Ruhama'u baynahum. Merciful. Merciful and kind amongst themselves. Merciful and kind. SubhanAllah, this is something we have forgotten. Many of us have forgotten. Ruhama'u baynahum. Merciful and kind amongst themselves. This is the seema. This is their sign of those people who are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the Quran about the companions and their great brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And as for those people who lived in the Dar, which is Medina, those people who took their residence in Dar, in Al-Madinah, and Iman, and they believed in Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before them, meaning before the Muhajireen, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, they love those who have done hijrah to them. They love the Muhajireen, those people who have left their homes in order to be with them, to be with the Ansar. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا, and they do not find any difficulty in the fact that they may have been given that which the Ansar have not been given. Meaning Rasulullah ﷺ might prefer the Muhajireen sometimes above the Ansar. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred the Muhajireen before the Ansar. In every verse it's always the Muhajireen than the Ansar. In every verse that talks about the companions, Muhajireen and then the Ansar. And we know, for example, Rasulullah ﷺ said that the Khilafah is from the Muhajireen. The Khilafah is from the Quraysh, which is from the Muhajireen. So we know therefore Islam did prefer the Muhajireen. However, subhanAllah, they don't find any difficulty in accepting this. No jealousy in their hearts. They have complete love for the people who has come from a distant land. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, and they prefer them over themselves, even though they may have great difficulty. SubhanAllah, great difficulty. They themselves don't have enough food. They themselves don't have enough wives. They themselves don't have enough to live. Yet they prefer their brothers over themselves. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, and they prefer their brothers over themselves, even though they may be in great difficulty. وَمَنْ يُوقَعْ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and indeed, the one who is able to stay away from the desires of his soul, then indeed he is a successful one. He is a successful one. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let me give you some glimpses of the sweetness of brotherhood. This thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is something so sweet, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a Hassan hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmed, he said, أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ, the most greatest or the most definite sign of Iman, the most definite sign of Iman is al-mu'alatu lillah wal-mu'adatu lillah, is brotherhood and cooperation and loving one another for the sake of Allah. This is the greatest sign of Iman. And also hating for the sake of Allah, meaning hating those people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest sign of Iman. It is the greatest sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy upon the community as a whole, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed brotherhood and love and companionship amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, or you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except as believers. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and hold on to the rope of Allah, to the Quran and to Islam. Hold on to it, don't let go. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and don't become divided. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ, and remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً, when you were enemies, Bangladesh and Pakistan, enemies, 1971 war, have we forgotten it? We were enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, then Allah joined your hearts together. Allah joined your hearts together. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, so you became, due to His great mercy, brothers in faith. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ, and you were on the edge of the fire, about to fall into it. وَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from it. Yani, imagine this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this verse that our unity and our brotherhood is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our disunity therefore, and our disunity and hatred amongst ourselves is from the anger anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with us, then He makes us disunited. It is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us, that He makes us united. Sufyan al-Thawri, may Allah have mercy upon him, was once asked, what is the essence of life? What is the essence of life? What is the ma'ul haya, as you say? The ma'ul haya, or the true essence, the water that is so essential to the life. What is the water to life? What is it? What is it? And so Sufyan al-Thawri, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, liqa'ul ikhwan, is to meet with your brothers. The sweetness and the essence of our life, my brothers, upon which our community is based upon, our whole society, our Islam is based upon, is our brotherhood, is us meeting each other, is us being together. This is the true essence of our brotherhood. Look at the first advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Medina. Do you know the first advice? You know, when President Bush was elected, everyone wanted to hear what's the first thing he's going to say, right? Because the first address of the president is so important. This is not the president we're talking about, my brothers. We're talking about the rahmatul alameen, the mercy to all mankind, the messenger that has been sent until the day of judgment. So the first address that he would give to his new society, to Medina, is so pinnacle, is so important. So the people were listening. What is he going to say? What is this man going to say? And he said in an authentic hadith in Sahih al-Tirmidhi, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, Ya ayyuhal nas, O mankind, At'imu at-ta'am wa afshu as-salam wa sallu bil-layli wal nasu niyam tadkhulu al-jannata bi-salam. A very, very beautiful hadith. A very beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and look at this, this is the messenger to mankind. And look at the advice he gives. Look at the advice he gives. Try and understand what advice he's giving. He's saying, O mankind, at'imu at-ta'am, feed people food, wa afshu as-salam, and spread the salam, wa sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam, and pray in the depths of the night whilst people are asleep. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. And you will indeed, after doing all of this, you will enter Jannah in great peace and harmony. What a beautiful hadith. What a beautiful hadith. What a beautiful hadith. The first two parts of the hadith are talking about brotherhood. The first two parts, my brothers, are talking about brotherhood. How is it talking about brotherhood? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At'imu at-ta'am, feed people food, wa afshu as-salam, and spread the salam. Don't you see what Rasulullah said at another time explaining this hadith? He said in another hadith, he said, La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu. You will not enter Jannah and believe. Wa la tu'minu hatta tahabu. And you will not believe until you love one another. And then he said, shall I not tell you? Shall I not tell you of that which will cause you to love one another? So the companion said, indeed, O Rasulullah, tell us. Tell us, what is it that will cause one of us to love each other? And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, afshu salam, spread the salam. And indeed, this hadith is telling us something. It's telling us, my brothers, that the outer actions have a direct impact on our inner heart. The outer actions, the way we act with our brothers, the way we are with our brothers, has a direct impact on our hearts. So if we do the acts, the outer actions, to bring our hearts together, then indeed our hearts will come together. Have you not seen what Rasulullah also said? He said, لَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبَكُمْ. In the prayer, he said, don't be, you know, line up, straighten your rows, and don't separate. And you know, one of them in front and the other one behind. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Why? Because if you are like that, فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبَكُمْ, your hearts will differ. Meaning the outer actions have a direct impact on the inner heart, on the inner actions. It is for this reason what Rasulullah said, feed people food. Feed people food. Feed people food and spread the salams. it is then that your hearts will actually grow fonder and you will have strong brotherhood. It is for this reason that Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy upon him, has a very beautiful saying. He said, our brothers are more beloved to us than our own families. He said, what, my brothers? He said, my brothers in Islam, I love them more than my own family. Very strange saying, isn't it? Why, O Al-Hasan, why? Why, Hasan Basri, why do you love your brothers more than your own family? Why? Then he said, because our brothers remind us of the Akhirah, whereas our families remind us of the dunya. When you go home, did you get the onions? Did you get the milk? Did you get the eggs? Oh my God, all the Akhirah is gone, you're talking about the dunya. When you're with your brothers, subhanAllah, all we do and talk about is about the Akhirah. It's about the Akhirah. About the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Al-Akhilla, the blood brothers, يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, that the blood brothers, on that day, one to the other will be enemies. عَدُوٌ, enemies, إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ, except for the believers. Except for the believers. We will be friends, inshallah. We will be friends on that day when people are running about naked. On that day when people are running about naked. And they're sweating so much that some of them are being drowned in it. On that day we will be friends, inshallah. And the people who are friends in this life, the enemies of Islam, they are friends in this life, they will be enemies of one another in that life. I ask you billah, I ask you by Allah, if we can be friends on that day, if we can be friends on the most difficult day in our life, when our own father and mother would run away from us because we want one deed from them, if on that day we can be friends, why not so in this life? Why can't we be friends in this life when the matter is not so difficult, when the matter is so easy? If we can be friends on that day, why can't we be friends today? We must be friends today. We must be friends today. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he started something which has never been seen in history ever before. This statesman, the best of statesmen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was best in everything he did. The best example in everything he did. He started something which has never been seen before in the history of mankind. He joined two brothers together. Not two brothers, meaning a brother, a blood brother and a blood brother, no. Meaning a brother in Islam, another brother in Islam. He joined between them two by making their brotherhood stronger than the normal brotherhood of Islam. What did he do? He made brothers between one Ansar, one person from the Ansar, and one person from the Muhajireen. So for example, he made friends between Sa'ad ibn Rabi', who was one of the Ansar, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who was from one of the Muhajireen. So he made brotherhood amongst them. What do I mean by this brotherhood? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made brotherhood amongst them such that when Sa'ad ibn Rabi', who was one of the Ansar and had money, would die, then instead of his own family inheriting from Sa'ad, Rather than the family inheriting, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf would inherit from him. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf would inherit from him. SubhanAllah, meaning that Rasulullah ﷺ had made them brothers and made their ties stronger than the strength of the bonds of family. It is truly something that has not been seen before. And it is because of this that we find numerous instances in the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ and in the history of the companions of their great of examples of their brotherhood. So when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf came to Medina, Sa'ad ibn Rabi', this righteous companion, came to him and said, oh my brother, I am a rich man. He said in authentic hadith in Bukhari, oh my brother, I am a rich man. Look at me, I am rich. I am from the rich people of the Ansar. Here you go. Half my wealth, take it. Half our wealth is for you. And here I have two wives. Look at which of them you like. Look at which of them you like. Obviously, this was at the time in which the ayah of the hijab had not been revealed yet. So he said, look at which of them you like, and then I will divorce her, and then you can marry her. Amazing. Amazing brotherhood. He was willing to give half his wealth. We don't even want to give a father and mother half our wealth when they ask for it. He was willing to give his brother, who he doesn't even know, who he has never even met before, who they were enemies with, and now they are friends. He is willing to give half his wealth and also half of his women. It is a tremendous sign of the brotherhood that he felt in his heart. In fact, this bond of brotherhood was so strong amongst the companions, that when the Muhajireen came, the Ansar saw how poor they were. And the Ansar used to have lands on which they used to cultivate date palm trees. So they all gathered together and came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't feel good. We don't feel good about our brothers being without anything. Oh Rasulullah, look at us. We have lands. We have date palm trees. We have so much wealth. Divide our wealth in half and give it to our companions. Give it to our friends. Give it to our brothers in Islam. All of them got together. None of them stayed back. Everyone was together in this love for brotherhood. Now you think about it. You think about this brotherhood. And you think about our situation today. And how when a Muslim is in trouble, we laugh and jeer at them. We laugh and jeer at them. Yesterday I saw a brother who had a tire puncture. And not just one tire puncture, two tire punctures. He was going across the road, and there was something on the road, and both of his tires, from the four tires, two of his tires were punctured. Obviously he only has one. No one prepares for two tire punctures. So he pulled into the central mosque. And I had just finished giving the talk, and I was just coming out. So he pulled in. And the brothers all gathered around his car. They gathered around his car and they started joking. They were joking. Some of them said, oh my brother, I don't know which is worse, your car or your state. Because he was very unhappy. So they were saying, they were joking and saying, I don't know which looks worse, the state of your car or the state of yourself. Joking, subhanAllah, at a time in which our brothers are in so much difficulty. When this person had just been shocked, perhaps his car has been destroyed, perhaps he's having some difficulty. Instead of offering our car, instead of even just giving him a lift, rather we mock at him and jeer at him and make fun of him. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How do we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change a situation when we cannot change our situation ourselves? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Burn this in your heart. Know this, Allah will not change your conditions until you change your own conditions, until you change your own state. We have in the example of the companions a direct opposite of what I just related to you. What I just related to you was one of the worst examples of brotherhood. One of the worst examples I've seen. However, in the examples of the companions, we have an example of the best of brotherhood. In the hadith, which is in Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once with the companions and he said, يَطْلَعْ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الثَّنِيَّةِ. There will come upon you a man from this gap in the mountain, رَجُلٌ مِنْ رِجَالِ الْجَنَّةِ. A man from the people, from the men of paradise. So the people looked. Who is this man going to come out? Abu Bakr? Umar? Who is it going to be? And a normal person came out, just like any Tom, Dick and Harry. A normal companion from the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ came out. So the companions became very amazed. Huh? Huh? What's happening? Why The Rasulullah say that this man is from the people of Jannah. What is so special? The second day came, another day. Rasulullah said the same thing again. Verily from this mountain pass will come a man from the people of Jannah. And the same man came again. A third day, Rasulullah said the same thing. And the same man came. Amazing, isn't it? The same man came. So one of the companions wanted to find out what was the situation with this person. What was so special that made him from the people of Jannah? What was so special about him? And so he went with him to stay with him in his house and see what was it that he used to do. Did he used to pray extra? Did he used to fast extra? Did he used to be better to his wife, the normal other companions? Did he used to read the Quran more? He must be reading the whole Quran in one salah or something like that for him to be from the people of Jannah, isn't it? Because the rest of the companions were only reading the Quran in two salahs, for example. He must be better than them in ibadah. But he did not find anything special that would make him special from the rest of the companions. He didn't find anything to say that he was better than any other Tom, Dick and Harry. So he asked him, "Oh my brother, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this and this about you, that you are from the people of Jannah. Why? What is it that you do that makes you from the people of Jannah?" And so this man, he thought for a while, and then he said, Wallahi, you know what? I don't know of anything that makes me better or worthy of such a reward, except that I go to bed and I find nothing in my heart against any Muslim. I go to bed and I find nothing in my heart against any Muslim. In fact, this is the reason, my brothers. This is the only reason for which Rasulullah ﷺ had said that he was from the people of Jannah. Wasn't because of his extra prayer. He didn't have extra prayers. He didn't have extra fasts. He only didn't have any hard feelings in his heart against any Muslim brother. Imagine if we were like that. If we, the Muslims in England and in the world, were like that, went to bed with nothing in our hearts against anyone, with any Muslim, nothing in our hearts against any brother, just because he's a brother, I've forgiven him. Just because a brother, keep on saying what you want, I've forgiven you, I don't care. I don't care, brother, you can continue on saying what you want, I have forgiven you. Just for the sake of Allah, that indeed this is something for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention us with those with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the people of Jannah, "Oh, so and so, I love so and so, verily love him, love them too." Have you not heard the story of Sheikh bin Baz? Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, he was once asked this question, "Oh Sheikh, why do people love you so much?" It was true, his enemies used to love him, his friends used to love him, his family used to love him, everybody loved him. Even the Pope loved him. I remember a letter from the Pope to Sheikh bin Baz, in one of the most nicest ways, mashallah, the Pope loved him. Everybody loved him. So he was asked, "Why, O Shaykh, do people love you so much?" And he thought and he said, "Wallahi, it is because I go to bed and I do not find anything in my heart against anybody. People can curse him, say he's a government scholar, say he is this, say he's that, he is a murji'i, he is this and that, and all these words and accusations and all these statements and curses that people lay on him night and day, yet he just forgives them all without having anything in his heart about them at all. It is for this reason why people used to love him so much." Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be brothers. And He reminds us again and again in the Quran that we are brothers and nothing can break this brotherhood. Nothing can break it. Even if we kill each other, my brothers. Even if we kill each other, we fight each other, we are still brothers in Islam. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Hujurat. What does he say? He says, "وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا And if two groups from the believers fight each other, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, then join them together, join between them, join between their hearts. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us why He has told us to join, why He has ordered the people to join between the hearts of two people who are fighting, two Muslim brothers who are fighting. And He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, verily believers are but brothers. Verily believers are nothing but brothers. Nothing but brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, so join between your brothers. Now, take a minute to ponder about this verse. Take a minute to ponder about this verse. Isn't it two people fighting each other? Two people are fighting each other, right? Two brothers with two swords, and they're hitting each other and they're trying to kill each other. And we already know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person, the killer and the person who is killed are both in the hellfire. We know that. Meaning that both, that you know, a Muslim is not allowed to fight another Muslim, and when they do so, they are in the danger of being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that so? Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again and again that at the end of the day, we are still brothers in Islam. Even though we may hit each other's necks, even though we may try and kill each other, we are still brothers in Islam. Even though we may backbite, my brothers, we are still brothers in Islam. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا? Does any one of you want to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You have just backbitten him and Allah is calling you his brother? Allah is calling you his brother? Your brother? He is using the term brother for a person who you've insulted, and you've mentioned him with the worst of characteristics, the worst of names. You've called him the worst of things, and yet he is your brother. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the Quran about someone, about manslaughter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, oh you believe, kutiba alaykum al-qisasu fil qatla. Verily, manslaughter or capital punishment has been written for someone who kills without due right. Al-hurru bil-hurri, wal-abdu bil-abdi, wal-untha bil-untha, the free man with the free man, the woman with the woman, and the slave with the slave. Faman ufiya lahu min akhihi shay'un. So whoever his brother forgives him. Let me give you a scenario. Let's say my brother Ahsan over here, I kill him. In a fit of anger, wah, I kill him. Khalas, he's gone. And I killed him intentionally with something that I know would kill him, a sword. So I kill my brother Ahsan over here. And his father has a right to kill me, right? Has a right to ask the judges to kill me. Why? Because I killed the apple of his eye. I killed his beloved son, his one and only son. So he has a right to ask the judge to kill me as well. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that even in this circumstance, this person is still your brother. This is why Allah calls him akhi. So whoever his brother forgives him, meaning this person whose son you have just killed is still your brother in Islam. Even though you have done the worst thing you can do to him. The worst thing you can do to him, kill his son. His most beloved thing in this world. Most precious thing in this world. You have killed him, still he is your brother in Islam. Do we need any more proofs after this? Do we need any more bayan after this? Any more clarification after this? To prove the fact that we brothers, we Muslims are brothers in the religion. Nothing separates us. Nothing can come between us. No nationality, no nothing, nothing comes between us. This is why I come from 25 hours away by plane from Australia down under to this land, and I find a nation of brothers. I find a people willing to accept me into their houses because I am their brother in Islam. Nothing more. I'm not a rock star. I'm not a rich man. I'm only their brother in Islam. And that is wallahi enough. That is enough for them to open their houses to me, for them to be kind to me, to be generous to me, to love me more than their own family. Because why? Because we remind each other of the Akhirah, whereas your families remind you of this dunya. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we are at this time in the community plagued with a lot of evils. We have a lot of evils in our community. Primarily, the cause and purpose of which, the reason for which, is our disunity. Is that we are not united. We don't have a clear stance. We don't fast on the same day. We don't pray Eid on the same day. We don't even pray Dhuhr prayer, we don't even pray Asr prayer on the same day. We can't even pray our Fajr prayers on the same time. Our Asr prayers at different times. We can't come together, Ya Akhi Fillah. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? What is it that has made us forget this? That we are brothers in the religion. People come to me and say, oh brother, I like a sister who is from Bangladesh. I am Pakistani, but I like a sister from Bangladesh. But the parents say I can't get married to them. Why? Because they will not be able to show their faces in the community ever again. Why? Because their children will be marrying someone from a different race. When will we break the barriers of nationality? When will we break these barriers down? When will we break these barriers down? We stand next to each other in salah. Do we feel any hate and anger? Then why do we feel hate and anger in such matters as this? Why is it that every time I come here, why is it that the young people are all talking about the fact that they can't get married to a woman or another sister because the parents don't agree? Why don't they agree? Not because of religion, no. Because of nationality, because of race, because of color. Amazing, amazing. I know of a brother in Australia who, when he wanted to get married, why am I giving the example of marriage? Because it is one of the most important signs. If you can give your brother, your daughter, to any Tom, Dick and Harry, any good Muslim who comes and asks for her hands, then that is the time that we know there will be no facade in the society. That is the time we know that our hearts will be together. If you can give your most precious thing, your most precious jewel, your little daughter, if you can give it to this man who you don't even know, but you trust him because he's a brother in Islam, that is the time that we know that we can move mountains and we can break walls and we can part seas. SubhanAllah. I know of a brother in Australia. When he wanted to get married, 29 sisters he saw. World record, I think. A world record. 29 sisters. SubhanAllah. I just gotta laugh. I have to laugh. I mean, it's so pitiful, but I have to laugh. It's so tragic. And he came and told me, say, oh brother, every one of them, the sister would agree. Every one of them, the sister would agree, but the parents would not agree. Why would the parents not agree, my brother? Aren't you rich? Of course I'm rich. Don't you have a house? Of course I have a house. Are you big and fat and ugly? No, you're not big and fat and ugly. You're nice and handsome. Are you disabled? No, I'm not disabled. What is it, my brothers? What is it that has stopped these 29 families from giving their daughters to this person who is trying to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect himself from the zina? What is it that is stopping them from giving their daughters? What is it? Because they are not Lebanese. Mush Lubnani. He doesn't speak our language. He is not Lebanese. The kids are going to grow up, subhanallah. Inshallah. How can we give our daughters to them? Are you out of your mind? Wallahi, it is the time when we break these barriers. When we break these barriers, my brothers, That is the time, truly, that our communities will come together. Our hearts will come together. When we have a new generation of youth, when we have a new generation of youth who do not identify to one nation or another, but identify to Islam only, when they can't say, I am Bengali, or I am Hindi, or I am Pakistani, or I am Saudi, or I am Lebanese, when they can only say, I am a child of Islam, that is the time truly that we will find unity. Because we have common ground. We have something common. We don't have anything else that stops us from the unity and our brotherhood. Let me remind you, my brothers, of the dua of Musa alayhi salam. With that I will conclude today. Let me remind you of the dua of Musa alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Surah Taha. What does he say in Surah Taha? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Musa alayhi salam that he made an urgent dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him certain things. From the things that Musa alayhi salam asked was washrah sadri, and cure the sickness in my heart, wahlul uqdatan min lisani, and cure the uqda and the difficulty that is in my tongue. And thereafter he said something which we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every day. Every day. وَجَعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي, and give me a wazir, give me a helper. Literally it means a minister, but what he means is a helper. Give me a helper from my people, from the Muslims. Give me a brother who will help me. Haruna akhi, Harun, my brother. Ushdud bihi azri, so that I may make my back strong with him, so that I may be straight and strong, and my affairs may become straight and strong with him, not alone, but with him. Wa ashrikhu fi amri, and that I may join him in my affair. That I may join him in my affair, Kay nusabbihaka kathira, so that we may praise you and exalt you together. Together, not by one. Together. Praying together to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping Allah together. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا, and that we may remember you a lot. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا, verily you are ever sightful over us. Verily you are ever a witness over us. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let us make a sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join between the hearts of the believers, just like he joined between the hearts of the companions. And to let us taste the sweetness of Iman by loving for our brothers what we love for ourselves. For verily that is Iman. And anything other than that is not Iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us taste the sweetness of Iman by loving for our brothers what we love for ourselves. And in conclusion, I quote to you the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Musnad Imam Ahmed, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that after the people will cross the Sirat, after the people will cross over the Sirat, which is over the hellfire, and they will come to this place just before Jannah, they're about to enter Jannah just before Jannah, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that point will judge between the believers. So at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a brother, another brother out. Two Muslim brothers, he will take them out. He will single them out and take them out. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, has this person wronged you? Has this person wronged you? And he will say, yes brother, yes O Allah, he has wronged me. So Allah will say, okay, take from his good deeds. So this person will start taking from his good deeds, to the extent that there is no more good deeds left on this brother, on this Muslim man. He has just passed 50,000 years standing in the sun, and he has succeeded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him and allowed him to enter Jannah, and he has passed the Sirat, yet now his sins are good deeds are going. His good deeds are going, so he's left with nothing but bad deeds. And so Allah will say to this man, are you satisfied? Man will say, no, Allah, I have even more. He has wronged me even more. So Allah will say, put your bad deeds on him. And so he will continue on putting his bad deeds on this man. Until he has no more bad deeds left, this person, and he has only good deeds, and this other person, he only has bad deeds. Subhanallah. This guy is doomed for the fire, isn't he? This brother of his is doomed for the fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this man, as Rasulullah ﷺ continued in the hadith, he will say to this brother in Islam, saying, Oh so and so, I will give you this and this in paradise. I will increase your levels and I'll give you this and this and this and I'll give you that and that. And Allah will continue to mention so many things that this man will say, oh Allah, why are you giving me so much? Why? Why? What is it that you want me to do? Then Allah will say, on one condition. On one condition. The man will say, oh Allah, say it and I will do it. Say it and I will do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who wants us to be brothers, will tell this man, forgive your brother. Forgive your brother. Oh, that's it. That's it. You will give me all of this just so I can forgive my brother? I make you my witness, O Allah, that I have forgiven him. I make you my witness, O Allah, that I have forgiven him. Do you see this? Do you see how Allah wants us to be brothers? Allah wants us to be brothers, subhanAllah. He doesn't need to give this man great rewards, etc., etc. He doesn't need to save this man from the hellfire. Allah has no need, but Allah wants us to be brothers. Allah wants us to be brothers. When will you realize this? And then Rasulullah ﷺ continued that this man will proceed to Jannah. He will continue on going to Jannah. Then Allah will tell him, stop! Stop, don't enter Jannah. Don't enter Jannah. And the man will say, why, O Allah? Why? What do you want me to do? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, take your brother's hand in your hand and enter Jannah. Subhanallah, Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. A couple of questions, actually not related to the topic, but I will start actually with that which is related to the topic. Says salamu alaykum salam. Who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's brother when he Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made brothers between the Ansar and Muhajireen? Rasulullah's brother was Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. So he made brotherhood between himself and Ali, even though of course Ali was not from the Ansar, but he was from the Muhajireen. Says regarding pictures and images, we go to questions that are not related to the topic. Says regarding pictures and images, if pictures of humans are not allowed, then is a film allowed? If so, how and why? The most correct opinion regarding videos and films is that inshallah it is allowed. It is only a wasila. It is only a wasila, a means. And the qaida in fiqh says, and the qaida, the rule in fiqh says, الوسائل له أحكام المقاصد. The wasail, the means to do anything, has the hukum of its end purpose. The means have the hukum of its end purpose. So if you use it for good, then it becomes halal and permissible and recommended. And if you use it for haram, for something that is not allowed, then it becomes prohibited and haram and disliked. Says here regarding bodybuilding, I understand tattoos are haram as it changes the body. Is this the same with bodybuilding as it increases the size of the body? No, tattoos are not allowed because it is images on the body. So it is for this reason that tattoos are not allowed. However, as for bodybuilding, and this is something which is recommended, of course, within limits and for the right purposes, with the intention of preparing and being fit, etc., and being a strong Muslim, not with the intention of showing off and you know, showing off and You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay. Don't show off, please. Jazakallah khair, brothers who are beefy. Okay. Unfortunately, of course, people have to always remember the intention. And something like this, you know, the intention can always go wrong. And if you do bodybuild and you do pump some iron, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anything else. It says here regarding Islamic frames, are frames such as Ya Allah, Ya Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Muhammad, okay, allowed to be on the wall together, or frames with images of Makkah? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions in Fathul Bari that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal this Quran except that it should be read and understood. It is for this reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in Arabic and He did not reveal it in gibberish or any other language. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in Arabic so that it can be understood by us, so that we can read it and gain knowledge from it and that we can cherish it. Not that we may design posters with it, not that we may design put up things on the wall with it, as we see many a times, for example, you know, the whole Quran written on one poster, as I've seen that. This is all not from the purposes of the Quran and should not be done, and it really is an innovation in the religion. There is no proof to say that the companions used to do this, except that the fact that it has been reported that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to have a tablet around his neck with some Quran on it. But obviously this is not the ta'weez that the people talk about, no. But he used to have it so that he could look at it and recite from it and memorize it. Not that he may, you know, gain protection from it, or that he may hang it up for design and viewing pleasure, etc., etc. So all of this should be avoided. All of this should be avoided. So we must not use the Quran as a means of art. Rather, the Quran is a educational book. It's a book of knowledge, and it should be that. It should not be put up in frames as people do, because of course it is only a thing of beauty and art, not a matter of understand, not a thing from which we gain knowledge from. Many people say, they give the excuse that, okay, if I have Surah Yasin, for example, written in my house, every time I see it, I will end up reading it. Billahi, I ask you, how many times have you read, those people who actually have the Surah Yasin in their house, how many times did they read it? Actually, the people who have the Surah Yasin in their house hanged up are the ones who don't read it. This is usually the case. Usually the case. So my advice to you really is not to do this. If you want, for example, to hang small du'as that may be from the du'as of the Quran on the wall, for example, on the door before going out, so that it reminds you of the du'a as you go out, etc., etc. All of this is, inshallah, permissible as a learning aid, as a learning tool, however, not for decoration, calligraphy, etc., etc. All of this is incorrect and disliked in the religion. Allah knows best. Regarding racing, are we allowed to drive fast in a car or have a race in our cars with one another? I was told it is not, as it is putting lives at risk, but isn't driving a car dangerous anyway? Okay. I'm going to tell you guys a joke. Okay? It's a nice joke. It's not a joke between me and you, it's a joke between Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Albani. Okay? Something that happened between them. Once a student of Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he went to visit Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah. And he got in the car with Sheikh Albani, and Sheikh Albani, mashallah, in Jordan, very fast driver. So he was driving very fast with this guy. He grabs hold of his seat and says, "Ya Sheikh, what are you doing? You know, why are you driving so fast? Slow down a little bit, you know." And he goes, "Sheikh Ibn Baz said it is not permissible to drive fast or speed, meaning speed above the speed limit." And so Sheikh Albani said, "Go and tell Sheikh Ibn Baz that this is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Meaning that it was a sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ that when he used to come back from traveling, obviously he used to speed up when he saw Medina, because obviously the sight of seeing Medina, and I can tell you, when I saw Medina as well, and whenever I've gone back to Mecca, and then when I'm coming back to Medina, wallahi, the very sight of it, you just want to speed up and just hurry up and get into it. Okay, so Rasulullah ﷺ used to hurry up, speed with his horse, etc., etc., speed with his camel when he was near Medina. So this is what Shaykh Albani rahimahullah was referring to, that it is sunnah to speak. But he just put it like that. And so, I hope it's going to be funny, inshallah. I just hope it's going to be funny, because I don't know, you know, some brothers over here are too intellectually upper class, so they just don't find it funny. But anyhow, you know, listen to this. Listen to this. And so this brother goes back to Sheikh bin Baz. This is an actual thing. And he said, "Ya Sheikh, Sheikh Albani told me to tell you that it is sunnah to speed. And it's good to speed." Because it's sunnah. It's recommended, isn't it? And so Sheikh bin Baz started laughing and he said, "These are the words of a person who is not used to playing, who is not used to paying blood money." Okay, I'm sorry. Not funny, is it? It's so funny you forgot to laugh, right? What he's saying is, you know, Sheikh Albani hasn't killed someone yet, so he hasn't paid blood money yet, so he doesn't know what it feels to actually have an accident while speeding. Okay, now mashallah, now brothers are now laughing and smiling. Alhamdulillah, finally he's understood. So, in answer to this question, is speeding good? No, speeding is not good. You should not disobey the speeding limits, it's not permissible. These have been put for your own guidance, for your own safety, and you should follow them. And as for racing with your cars, avoid it, inshallah. You know, race with your horses. If you can get some horses, do race with your horses. You know, you can't cause any accidents with that, inshallah, except break your own neck. But so race with your horses, not with your cars, inshallah. Okay, it says here, regarding marriage, if my parents verbally agreed to a second party that I would get married to her when we grow up, but during this period I was with another female who I want to marry, what should I do Islamically? First of all, Islamically you shouldn't be with another female. Okay, what are you doing being with another female? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you sacrificing your wives in Jannah for the women of this dunya? Why are we sacrificing our wives in Jannah for the wives of this dunya? Subhanallah. When we think about it, and brothers are saying, "Oh, there's a beautiful girl down the road, and this and that," or, "Brother, I'm with this woman, I'm with that woman, oh, mashallah, I love her so much." And, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, ya majnoon." This person who is so, you know, driven mad by the women of this dunya. Why are you sacrificing your wives in paradise? Your beautiful, 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 beautiful wives in paradise for the wives in this dunya who will be a headache for you? Why do you wish to strangle yourself and choke yourself? Subhanallah, it is true. Really, isn't it? Why do you commit sins by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may prohibit you from going to Jannah? May prohibit you from going to Jannah. May not give you from these wives of Jannah. Why do you wish to do this just for a couple of minutes of pleasure? Subhanallah. So first of all, you shouldn't be with this other girl. Second of all, if it is inshallah that you have been with her Islamically, meaning that you've come to know of her and you want to marry her, then inshallah it is your right, your haqq, to actually approach your parents and say that I want to marry this girl and I don't want to marry anyone else, and inshallah they can take it from there, inshallah. Do it in the best of ways, inshallah. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Be with them in this dunya in the best of manners, even if they don't agree, which is most probably the case, and that's why you're writing this question. If they don't agree, still be with them in the nicest of ways. You know, spread your wings of mercy around them, make dua for them, give them gifts, convince them, bribe them, yes, bribe your parents. What do you mean by bribe your parents? Wallahi subhanAllah, when's the last time you bought your mother a gift? When's the last time you bought your father a car? When's the last time you bought your father a shirt? When's the last time you took your mother and father out for dinner just by themselves? Bribe them. It's halal. Bribe your parents, inshallah. They will be with you. They don't want harm for you. They want good for you. It's only when you make them realize this fact, they will be on your side and not against you, inshallah. I think when I said that, you know, I was giving the example that I killed him or something, he didn't like it. So he's saying I have to finish 3 minutes before. So he says, this is the last question we have here. I'll actually mention this. Can we have trade with Jews and non-Muslims in UK? Or interest? Is interest halal for Muslims living in UK or haram? Please clarify. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not prohibited us from trading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made trading halal for us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. That he has made trade halal and riba haram. It is one of the opinions of some of the scholars. Some of the scholars were of the opinion that haram trade practices are allowed in non-Muslim countries. However, this is a very, very weak opinion. Very weak opinion. That which vast majority of the ulama are upon is that it is not permissible to do riba or any sort of haram contract in a place where the non-Muslims rule. It is not permissible to do riba or any other haram contract in a place in which non-Muslims are in authority. So you are obliged by Islam to, if you lend money to a Jew, you must not charge interest on that. Even though it may be that he will charge interest on you, however, you must not charge interest on that. In the same way, haram business practices, you're not allowed to do that. Just because you are living with non-Muslims, it does not give you permissibility of cheating them, taking their money, harming them in any way or every way possible. And first of all, you know, I'm quite amazed at this question. And lastly, actually, I'm, you know, really amazed at this question. Because at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, you are stuck here in England. You are stuck here in England. This is not an Islamic country. This is a British country. They have their own cultures, their own values. You cannot put your own values and impose it upon them, because you have entered with an agreement with them. So you cannot therefore steal their money, you cannot cheat them, you cannot lie with them. You must agree with them and treat them in the same way as they treat you. So their laws apply to you just like your laws apply to them when they come to your country. So when they come to an Islamic country, they must not come except, for example, that they cover themselves. And they cannot deal in alcohol. Why is it that Muslims do not allow them, why is it that we Muslims oblige non-Muslims to practice our laws in our countries, and we say that we are not obliged to follow their laws in their own country? Is this the hakum and the ta'ud? Is this following the hukum of the devil? No, it's not. It's not. Why? Because this is to do with matters of istilah. This is to do with matters which is between human beings living in a community. It's not something that goes against the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it is permissible. That is why it is not permissible to break the traffic laws. It's not permissible to speed. It's not permissible to not wear seatbelts. It is obligatory to wear seatbelts. Islamically, it is obligatory. Why? Because it is from the rules of the land, and you have entered this land with this condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanallah, Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.